Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
My name is Catherine, and I am a visual artist with Hearts Need Art. I earned my bachelor's degree from the University of North Florida with a focus in fine arts and painting and drawing. And during my time there, I did an internship with another arts and health program at a children's hospital. And it was during that time that I think I realized how critical the arts experience is, no matter what your life stage or circumstances are, because it gave patients a way to still have a form of self-expression during really challenging times. Art making is an opportunity for us to not just have self-expression, but it gives us a chance to just be in the present moment where we're not worrying about the future or rehashing things that happened in the past. And so whether you're doing a super finished portrait or you're just making some marks on a page, there's a chance there to just find some peace of mind. I felt like because Hearts Need Art wants to bring those moments of joy and connection and self-expression in a healthcare setting, it just spoke to me because of my past. I think as adults, sometimes it's easy to lose our connection to art making because we get caught up in our jobs or being parents or whatever roles we have to fulfill. And it's very easy to forget just how playful and fun art making can be. And so being able to bring that opportunity into a healthcare setting, it may have been years and years since somebody has done any art at all, but I think just providing the space and the opportunity for somebody to try is an important piece of them being connected to themselves. I think the process of art making is more important than the product. So I'm excited to just show up with the materials and see what happens. There's a level of spontaneity to that, that again, it brings in that presence-based practice. You don't know what's going to happen until you just show up and do it.
Come along with me, and I know you'll see that a song changes everything.
Oh, we're on the wrong side. Of course, leave it to me to do that. Hi, Catherine. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Richard.
I'm Richard Wilmore, your host of Arts for the Health of It. And look, I have a new person sitting next to me. It's Catherine, everyone. If we had applause, I don't think we have that in here, but I would... I'll add it. Catherine is, as you just saw in the video, an artist in residence, a virtual artist in residence for Hearts Need Art because she just moved away from San Antonio, which makes us all very sad. But I thought this would be a great opportunity to have her join the podcast since Stanzi is out, and I'm very happy you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. What are you most excited about with joining the podcast?
I think I'm most excited to hear other people's stories and how they use their experience to connect with other people through the arts. That's always fascinating to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have a great kickoff for that, yes, for you to for a story. And we're going to get to write a song today.
I'm so excited.
Yes. Dan Rubens is here, and so is Jake Gluckman, and they're going to help us write a song because they do it every day for the nonprofit that they work for, and they work with kids, and they get to write original music. Like, who doesn't want to do that? Everybody, a lot of people write in their journals or diaries or just like random stuff on their blogs, and then to get to turn stuff into music, I'm so excited. And then we'll probably turn it into a recording, and then we'll sell it for, you know, we'll sell it as a way to raise money if it's good. And Catherine will probably be responsible for the vocals, because I cannot sing.
Oh my, oh no, nope. Let's see what happens.
Yes. Can you tell everybody expert is with...
Oops, say that again, Richard.
Oh, can you tell everybody what your area of expertise is with art?
Sure. So I am mainly a painter. I think in the video I shared, I got my bachelor's in painting and drawing. I have a six-year-old, so a lot of the time it's markers and crayons. And I think that he helps me stay fresh. You just have to use whatever is available.
Yeah.
But through that, I've taught elementary school for a couple of years. I've worked with arts and health before, and yeah, it's just fun to be able to talk with other artists and musicians and writers who are in that same practice.
Awesome. And speaking of whatever you have, today is National Mechanical Pencil Day.
Yes.
As of course it should be, National Mechanical Pencil Day. So if you have one, see what you can create with just a mechanical pencil. Throw it on our Instagram or our social media and show us what you got.
Or just do the thing where you like click it a bunch of times and then push the lid back
in.
Yes,
until
it breaks. That's what everyone does.
See how many times, how many clicks until the entire thing breaks and you have no lid left. All right, Catherine, anything else before we start today's show?
No, I'm ready to jump in.
All right, let's do it.
Come along with me, and I know you'll see that a song changes everything.
Well, here we go. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Happy National Mechanical Pencil Day.
Yes, how are you celebrating? I'm so glad you're here for National Mechanical Pencil. We're going to write a song with a mechanical pencil.
We can write a song about a mechanical pencil if we want. I'm not a big mechanical pencil fan, which I feel embarrassed to say on this day for
what
those
don't
who
you
observe.
Like about
what
don't you like about the mechanical pencil?
It breaks easily. The sort of texture, it doesn't feel sort of like as organic as sort of like a classic number two pencil. Jake doesn't seem to be agreeing with
Jake
me.
Is
I just we'll talk more after this, Dan. I'm not why you're wrong. But no, I love mechanical pencils.
I recently fell in love. This has nothing to do with mechanical pencils, but erasable pens. Those are my favorite. Yeah,
those are old school.
So,
yeah.
What, Catherine?
I said those are old school.
Oh.
But in a good way. Sorry. No, okay.
I just recently found them, so that's fine. Can you each introduce yourself? We can start with Dan. Kind of tell us who you are, and I love to know where people are from, because we talk to people from everywhere. So let us know where you're from, and what you do in arts and health.
Amazing. So my name is Dan Rubens. I am from Manhattan, where I continue to live. And I am the co-founder and executive director of Hear Your Song, which is a nonprofit that works with youth with serious illnesses and complex health needs to empower them to make their voices heard through collaborative songwriting. And I've been doing that full-time for about 2 years. I started it as a student organization back in 2014, but it's been my full-time gig basically since the pandemic began.
Wow. Jake?
Yes, hi everyone. My name is Jake Gluckman. I am from New Jersey. I actually worked full-time for Hear Your Song up until about a month ago. I graduated from college in 2021 and I received a fellowship to work for Hear Your Song. So that's how I'm involved. I started out as a volunteer when I was a student, but I was very excited when I got the chance to actually dedicate my full-time life to mentoring volunteers and helping our song production pipeline and really working with Dan in every aspect of the organization. Did I freeze?
No, you're back.
Okay, great. And now I'm currently at a pre-med post-bac program. I recently decided I wanted to pursue medicine. but I'm continuing as a very dedicated and enthusiastic Hear Your Song volunteer.
Yes, good. I'm so glad you're here. Now, before we start songwriting, because we're going to write a song together today, correct?
Let's do it. Yeah.
From the not art side, but from the nonprofit side, I want to hear why or how you took it into the nonprofit world, because you were doing it before, correct?
And then So that's a great question. So it began when I was a sophomore in college. My co-founder Rebecca and I were really looking for ways to bring the musical community on our campus together, and we started working with kids in local children's hospitals and helping them write songs, which we'd then bring their lyrics and musical ideas back to campus, where they'd get recorded by large groups of students. And that continued after we graduated. And then when the pandemic began, I was teaching fourth grade, suddenly online. And as we were talking to each other and to other musicians and to the students who were still sort of trying to lead that organization back on campus, we realized that sort of this was the moment where we really, I guess you could say an opportunity, but also really a need for the kids that we wanted to serve to make their voices heard at a time when they were, where kids were immunocompromised or living with serious illnesses were sort of the most isolated and the most at risk. And musicians were looking for ways to connect and collaborate that they had suddenly lost all access to. And we suddenly had access, or realized we had access, to sort of infinite virtual community, which meant that we could reach kids who weren't inpatient in hospitals. We could reach kids at home. We could reach kids really anywhere they were, and reach kids anywhere geographically too. So that was sort of the impetus. So it was sort of catalyzed by COVID, really, more than anything else.
What made you pick, because initially you said you worked in children's hospitals. Was there a reason behind picking that?
Yeah, so the sort of connection there for me was when I was in fifth grade, I had a teacher who had our fifth grade class partner with a local pediatric residence for kids with quite severe medical needs, many of whom were nonverbal and most of whom would sort of live in the residence until they aged out. And we were buddies with those kids for the full school year. And my buddy Melissa was about the same age as me. And it was really an incredible program of getting to know kids who sort of at first glance might appear incredibly different from what I thought of at the time as sort of like a typical 11-year-old kid, and sort of making those friendships and having those connections not just sort of be a single time sort of charity event, but really about connecting and getting to know kids as full friends and human beings, really had a big impact on me. So that was actually the first organization that I reached out to, called Elizabeth Seton Pediatric Center in Yonkers. And by total coincidence, the first resident that we were paired with was Melissa, who was my buddy, and was still there. So that was one of the first, we recorded her song in our first ever recording session.
Oh my gosh.
She wrote about wanting to spend a warm day at the beach with her friends. And we then got to work with her in person a number of times and perform the song for her and with her. And that was a really very fortuitous full circle moment that sort of kicked things off.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
Jake, how did you get involved?
So I started as a volunteer when Hear Your Song was still just a student organization. I was a musician and I was eager to kind of get involved. I had met Dan sort of over like Facebook Messenger, and he encouraged me to volunteer for Hear Your Song. And I instantly loved getting the chance to work with the musicians, and I instantly connected with the mission. I've always loved working with kids, just like personally in my life. And I thought this was a great way to kind of connect with other, you know, composers like me, but also give back. And then sort of as Dan was talking about, as they started expanding in sort of the beginning of the pandemic, I was one of those eager musicians who was looking to kind of engage. And I got the chance to help record and write music for a few songs. And then as I was looking for something to do post-graduation, Dan and I kind of stumbled upon this fellowship that's funded by the Yale Glee Club Associates, where I could work full-time for Hear Your Song and it would be fully funded. and it was such an incredible experience.
Those magical words, fully funded.
Yeah. Don't hear them too often, but what you do is
magic.
Yeah, and we've actually been lucky, really sort of magically lucky, but really because of the talent of the people who have been gotten involved with the organization, to have another fellow receive the same fellowship this year, Jack, who just started, not to be confused with Jake, who just started a couple weeks ago. So it's been amazing to have another fully funded staff member for another year.
Good. Yeah. Are we ready to write?
Sure.
All right, we're going to take a break. Yeah. Can people do this at home, or are they just going to like watch us?
People are welcome to do this at home. I think we can, as we lead you through the process, we can sort of talk through what our typical songwriting sessions look like, and sort of how there is no typical songwriting session. And then if people want to sort of find inspiration from that, and pause and write their own choruses, they're welcome to do so.
Okay, good. We're going to take a quick break so you can grab your mechanical pencil and paper and get ready to write a song with us. We'll be right back, everyone.
Whether you consider yourself a musician or not, music is all around us, and it affects our everyday lives. Whether it's background music influencing our shopping habits in a store, organ music adding the vibe to a baseball game, or a playlist convincing us to keep going on that last mile of a run. I'm Minty Peterson, host of the podcast Enhance Life with Music, where we take a holistic look at the power of music in our everyday lives through the lens of science and health, sports and entertainment, business and education. You can find me and Enhance Life with Music at mpetersonmusic.com/podcast or wherever you get your audio. Unleash the power of music.
Medical professionals are burning out at an alarming rate. Burnout can cause health workers to feel hopeless, trapped, helpless, worthless, depressed, sleepless, and tired. By joining the Hearts Need Art Gratitude Grams program, medical staff receive a personalized email and video from a musician, an artist, or writer once a week that includes a message of thanks, an encouraging song, uplifting poem, or a simple art activity. After watching their Gratitude Gram, participants report feeling more hopeful, empowered, energized, and appreciated. If you are or know a healthcare worker that would like to receive free gratitude grams, please visit heartsneedart.org.
All righty, we're back with Dan and Jake from Hear Your Song, and we are about to write a song. I'm going to share my screen. You need to jump on Facebook or YouTube and watch this. This is not a one to listen to on a podcast platform. So we're ready when you're ready.
Wonderful. So really the core of our songwriting sessions with kids is about giving them power and choice over as much of the process as we possibly can. So we normally start out by just chatting with kids a little bit, getting to know what they might want to write about, or if they have a strong idea coming in. If you visit our YouTube channel, there's songs about food, there's songs about family. Sometimes kids write about their medical experiences. So I don't know if you want to write a song together, if you have ideas what you might want a song about today. But it is Mechanical Pencil Day. I don't know if that's of deep musical interest to you.
What do you think, Richard?
I mean, my go-to is always coffee. Mm-hmm. Elephants are my favorite. I'm trying to think of favorite things. Catherine, what do you love?
I love both of those things too.
Good.
Good.
That's why we get along.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
You could also, I mean, we also invite kids often to write, to tell a story, whether it's a true story or a made up story through their song. So you could combine coffee and elephants in some way if you wanted to as well.
Mm. An elephant drinking.
Day in the life of an elephant who's just trying to get a cup of coffee.
Yes. It's tough fitting through those Starbucks doors when you're an elephant. Mm.
it's dark roast coffee, right, Richard?
Well, it's medium roast.
Medium. Okay.
I mean, I'll drink it.
I do think that what you just said, it's tough fitting into those Starbucks doors when you're an elephant, could be a great sort of hook for the chorus. We try to, so as you're saying, try to write down like almost everything that kids say so that we can show them that they're like creating incredible phrases and lines that, that could become songs. So if you like that,
I mean, you could run sure, with it. Yes. I said it, so it's I love it.
Cool. Well, if that's what our song's gonna focus on, so we can often, if that, do you like that as sort of the like the hook of the chorus or like the main, sort of the main idea where we're building to in our chorus, or what do you think?
Yeah, I love that because I think it's funny.
Amazing. So do you want to? You can both sort of take turns telling us a little bit about this elephant, what the day is like, what the need for coffee feels like, sort of anything that comes to mind. Well, we can just sort of brainstorm a little bit.
Does the elephant have a name?
Well, so I was just in the hospital for a few weeks, and Catherine actually came and painted my window for me. And one of the things she... I have the picture here. So she put... She drew this for me.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And oh my gosh.
Painted that. Yeah. So there's an entire story behind this elephant, but we did name the elephant Ivy. So we could name this one Ivy as well.
Yeah, I think this one needs to be named Ivy.
Yeah, great.
She's going to get her own like TV series, I feel like.
Oh, I'm already brainstorming.
Yes.
So what is Ivy like?
Well, the story behind this, like if you look at it, it's very cute, right? She's watering a field of flowers, is what it looks like. But really what she's doing, those are, I had a fungal infection. And so we named her Ivy as from an IV bag. And what she's actually doing is spraying antifungal on them to kill them. So she looks very sweet, but she's actually a killer. So
she's a healer, Richard.
Yeah, she's a healer. I'm so sorry. Yes, but she is killing the fungi. So she's here to help.
I just to sort of mention another process that this is reminding me of. We worked at the beginning of last year with a 12-year-old named Zippy. Who decided to write an 8-minute musical with us about a zebra, which is the symbol for rare disease in the United States. A zebra who comes to the United States to find his adoptive father and ends up cast in The Lion King on Broadway. And we actually ended up getting a lot of cast members of The Lion King to participate in recording that. So if this could be heading the same direction, if we want to bring some Broadway folks on board.
If the cast of The Lion King wants to come on the program and sing, that's we can figure that out. I wouldn't be mad about it.
Great. So we have, she's sweet, but she's actually a healer. What other adjectives you'd use to describe her? Or things.
I would like her to be as large as possible. I want a giant elephant.
Larger than life.
Yes. Low, larger than life. Mm-hmm. Does she have like a catchphrase or something? Like that?
Goodness.
Like there's a fungi pun. Somewhere in there.
I used to tell everybody that fungus is no fun. That's what I would tell everybody. But I don't know if she has a catchphrase.
It could be it's tough fitting into those structures when you're an elephant. It could be her catchphrase. We do
have. She probably says it many times during the day.
Right.
I think she's tired from healing all day, so she needs some coffee to.
Yeah.
To pick me up.
So do you think the song is more of a like introducing Ivy the elephant, or is the song like a particular like day in the life of Ivy the elephant?
I feel like she wrote the song.
Okay. So will the song be like first person? Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're listening and not watching yet, they're typing all of our ideas down into this Google Doc so that we can start putting this together.
And something that we often do if we're sharing on a whiteboard, Zoom or something like that, and especially for younger kids, we sort of visualize it with like a web where we might have like chorus ideas in the middle and then branching out to sort of other categories of like what the verses might be about. And sometimes it's helpful to start with the chorus just to sort of center on like what our main idea is. So sort of what might be the phrases leading into the Starbusters idea.
Dan, I have a question.
Yeah.
What's a chorus and a verse?
Yeah. Do you want to answer that, Jake?
A self-answering participant. Yeah.
I'd be glad to, Dan. So the chorus and the verse, some of you are familiar with those musical terms, but when we introduce, so a lot of the times if we think that our songwriters need some structure and want, you know, very clear like pieces of a song, we talk about the verses and the choruses. So the choruses are the parts of the song that it's like the part of the song that you remember. It's like the part that repeats a lot, like the 3 to 4 lines. It's usually 3 to 4 lines. It usually has like the catchiest melody, sometimes contains the title. So I'm thinking of like, somewhere over the rainbow, da da da. You could think that as the chorus of that song. And so that part repeats like 2 to 3 times. And then the verses are sort of what goes in between the choruses. So like verse one would be like the first couple lines that introduce the song. Verse one is followed by chorus one. And then you'd have a second verse followed by a second chorus. So we could start by thinking of like what we want the chorus to be, since that's usually like the main idea of the song, the part that, you know, as I said, repeats or that is catchy. And then from there, go to the verses. But it's up to you all.
So I feel like it's tough fitting through a Starbucks store, whatever I said, would be part of the chorus.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll just put some of these structural marks so we can visualize it.
How long does a typical, like, are these multiple sessions with?
Yeah, great kids? Question.
I'm assuming.
So, yeah, so it really depends on, sometimes we do group sessions with partner organizations. Like this coming weekend, we're doing a session with the American Partnership for Eosinophilic Disorders, where we'll have a bunch of kids in a breakout room and they'll each be working on their own song. So in those cases, we'll definitely sort of have a follow-up session after sort of an initial 90-minute session to keep working on musical ideas and things like that. Sometimes kids, especially younger kids, but it sort of depends, will sort of write a lyric very quickly and then share their musical ideas and say, like, I'm done here. You can sort of produce it from here with your volunteer squad. Other kids want to record their own vocals, write their own melodies, sometimes write their own piano accompaniment, mix their own tracks. So it's really driven by wherever the kids want to take their experience.
Why was my camera unplugged?
Oh, no. Another thing is we don't require or necessarily encourage kids to write rhymes in their songs, unless that's something that we offer it as like, is that something you want your song to have? But we want it to sort of be whatever feels authentic to their voice. So if you want to rhyme elephant, we can work on that. Or stores, I guess, might be the easier way. I guess relevant could be a close rhyme. But yeah, so where shall we go from here? It's tough fitting into those Starbucks stores when you're an elephant. Do you think that's the first line of your chorus or the last line of your chorus?
I feel like that's the first.
Great.
Catherine, this is also your song. So
yeah, Catherine, do you want to think where we might?
I think if you're using the word relevant, it's something like drinking coffee is always relevant.
Great.
Ooh, I like that.
Do you want to use any of those brainstormed phrases? Like you say, I'm sweet, but I'm actually a killer, or I'm larger than life.
I don't want her to be killer anymore. Okay.
I'm tired from healing all day. She can be a healer.
Yes, yeah. She can be a
like,
healer.
Do you like that I'm tired from healing all day? I need a pick-me-up idea?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want it to be, I'm tired from healing all day, so I need a pick-me-up, or I'm tired from healing all day, I need a pick-me-up?
Either one. Let's take out the so.
Great.
Perfect.
And that's the that's a great example of sort of the kind of minute choices that we are constantly sort of offering kids, so they really feel, because sometimes it, sort of the big picture choices feel overwhelming for kids. So sort of giving them control on sort of the sort of most granular level helps them sort of build up to making bigger musical choices where they're like, I could have any instrument, like that's overwhelming, but I can definitely decide if I want like this word word in or not. So good choice.
And I'm sure we're kind of doing this like on a abbreviated level, just like for the sake of time, but it's really interesting that like you guys are having to pay really close attention to what they're saying, but also to maybe what they're not saying, and then doing just asking really good questions to draw it out of them. So,
yeah, a lot of the sessions are about. So go ahead, Jake.
Oh, no. I was gonna say a lot of the time it just comes down to making sure that there's always like, as I sort of did with you, like two options that we're weighing, and sort of what we try to encourage our volunteers to do is always making sure that it's always about the songwriter actively picking instead of us being like, do you want this? Yes or no? Or like, because all the times our songwriters are just like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever. But making sure that there's actually like a way for them to actively choose one thing. And also for them to see multiple options so that it helps them actually figure out what they want. Because a lot of the times they're like, we're not songwriters, we know what we want. But if there are like multiple options that we give them, then it makes, we find that it makes them feel like they're more empowered to actually choose.
Right.
So are we, do we want to add one more line to finish up this course maybe? Oh, well, there is a great rhyme for up that I'm thinking of that would be quite relevant for this song.
Let's hear it.
Do you have any? Up? Yeah. Could we get a cup in there?
I don't know how she's holding her coffee cup, but I feel like we also need a color for the coffee cup. Like she has to have a favorite coffee cup that she uses. Yeah.
Does she always get like a particular size? Like is the largest Starbucks size like enough for her? Because she's an elephant. Right. Like, so I'm
like, what if she just gets one shot and that's her? And she like throws it back with her trunk and then she just goes about her day.
A shot of espresso in my cup. And then what did you say about in something in the trunk and then she go about
like, I just imagine her like throwing it back, like using her trunk, throwing it back and like tossing the cup and then, I don't know, fucking away.
Is she pouring it on her head or in her mouth?
No, like in her, I don't know. I didn't get that far. It goes in her mouth.
Okay.
But she can't like use her hand or her feet to like drink it. So she would pick it up with her trunk. Right.
Yes, that makes sense. This makes as much as much sense.
Yes,
as
this can. Makes sense. This is completely a song that could happen.
It's totally within the hear song realm of the hear song catalog.
This is very, very within the realm.
Okay, good.
And we and then we would, as you said, in a full session, would go even further to like, if you had just said a bunch of things, we'd like slow down and be like, say that again, or like, did we get that exactly the way you wanted it? We're allowing a little bit of paraphrase maybe here that we would normally be very careful about making sure that we were capturing kids' exact language. But so I guess for the sake of time, now that we have potentially a chorus here, what musical ideas are coming to mind? Are there any instruments or musical styles that you're envisioning?
Instruments would be keyboard and guitar, since those are the two that you guys have. Right.
But we also, we say to kids that like any instrument they imagine we pretty much have in our volunteer community, any instrument we imagined. The kid recently said she wanted bagpipes, and I called our music director and was like, bad news, we need bagpipes. And she was like, oh, that's great, we just had a bagpipe player. So don't feel limited. But I mean, if you want to hear sounds today, that's what you're stuck with.
However, when the Lion King cast comes, I would like drums, because those are my favorite instruments. Great. So drums, I feel like, should be in there. And that's also a good, like, for feet, elephant feet. Yes. Like, that could be good.
Stomping.
That actually reminds me. I was going to say that this song is reminding me a lot of a song written by one of our kids named Piper. She wrote a song from the perspective of her dogs going to the groomers. And it was very similar to this, where it was like from the perspective of her dogs, like about like the fear of going to the groomers. And she specifically wanted the drums to sound like the horror movie, dun, dun, dun. That was her like very specific note.
I wonder if Ivy pays for her coffee in peanuts or cash. I don't know why that just popped in my head. Like, does she get a snack?
That could be, yeah.
You know? Does she peanuts with her coffee?
That could be a whole verse. Or the bridge.
The bridge, yeah.
Maybe the bridge is like, she's like ran out of peanuts, but she's at the store and she needs her coffee. So it's like a very dramatic moment.
Musically, do you have ideas for sort of stylistically? I'm sort of getting like a bluesy vibe from that first line, but I don't know what you're hearing.
Yes, yeah, like blues, jazz, maybe like you know, like Ivy swaying her big old hips while she's like snapping her fingers.
So normally at this point, then, if imagine we had written the full lyrics and we're ready to sort of explore the music, we'd invite the songwriter to improvise a melody. Maybe you don't have to do that today if you don't want to, or if they're like, no way am I singing, then one of our volunteers, such as Jake, might sort of make something up and sort of see what reaction he gets. So that's your cue, Jake.
unless Catherine wants to start singing, I'm going to default to Jake.
Nope, Jake, it's all you.
Woo, let's see.
No pressure.
Do we want like a bluesy? So does anyone want to do some snaps to count us in?
We can do snaps.
It's tough fitting to these Starbucks stores when you're an elephant. Drinking coffee is always relevant. I'm tired from healing all day. I need a pick-me-up. A shot of espresso in my cup. I throw it in my trunk and go about my day.
Oh my gosh. Richard, your window painting has a song now.
I know. This is turning into a whole thing. I love it. I'm so glad I was in the hospital. That's so cool.
That's so much fun.
How you've worked with over 200 children, right, since you've started?
Yeah, so we've worked with, we've written close to 300 songs now with kids. And yeah, we have many, many more coming this summer too. We have two camp partnerships over 4 different camp weeks, plus 2 conferences we're working with, a hospital or two that we're working with, as well as sort of individual kids through word of mouth. So lots and lots of songs coming up.
Wow. And on a completely different side, it's more of the running the nonprofit side. How big is your staff?
So our staff right now is me full-time, our new programs fellow full-time, our music director is part-time, and then for the summer we have 2 interns, a programs intern and a social media intern, and then we have just a massive community of volunteers who lead sessions with kids, who compose music after kids have written their lyrics, who arrange and produce songs, who play and sing on them, who make our lyric videos. So there's a tremendous amount of generosity from lots and lots of people that are going into making these songs possible.
Wow. What have you both learned about, I don't know, yourselves since doing the work?
Oh, that's a great question. I think something that I've learned is just like trusting kids with their own visions and just, I guess, listening to them more. I think I've just, the stories that we get from a lot of our songwriters are sometimes really fun and like a dog going to the groomers. And then sometimes there are really heart-wrenching songs about illness experiences, and the wisdom and bravery have always just been inspirational to me and something that I feel like I try to carry with me in my own adult relationships. Because sometimes, I mean, I'm sure you all can agree that like sometimes our kids can be much wiser and know more than some adults. So I think that's what I've taken away from it.
Yeah, I think sort of similarly, sort of what comes to mind is even sort of beyond the individual songs, sort of trusting kids to sort of guide the direction of the organization and sort of to know sort of what we need to do. For two examples quickly that come to mind are, we are sort of pivot early on in our trajectory as a full nonprofit, like a year and a half ago now, to really explicitly include mental health diagnoses as the part of the communities we serve, came from a sibling of a girl with a physical health diagnosis who wrote, she asked if she could also write a song and wrote hers about the stigmatization around teens talking about mental health and how her sister, who has a congenital physical condition, is sort of held up as a hero, and she's asked to sort of bottle up her mental health experience. And that sort of directly led us to sort of reconsider how we frame sort of the populations we work with and to sort of pursue a number of mental health based partnerships that have been really powerful. And we've recently started doing peer songwriting groups where some of our most engaged and returning songwriters have been working on songs together and really building a community together, and seeing their reactions to that has been incredibly powerful, because they've really been very adamant that these groups continue and that they collaborate with one another, and they're sort of guiding sort of the direction then that our programming takes.
Wow. I'm just thinking, like, I just want to bring you into Hearts Need Art.
Yes.
and I think that would be a great, I don't know, we'll talk after this is over about how we can work together.
Amazing.
I think that we work with young adults, and I think it would be a great partnership and something that would be really needed here. Anyway, how can people best connect with the both of you and for Hear Your Song?
Yeah, so on our website, folks can get in touch if they want to sign a kid up for a session, if they want to volunteer in any capacity. Those are all easily available on our website if they're from an organization, a hospital, a nonprofit that would like to partner with us. All of our programs are free of charge for the kids and families and the organizations we partner with. So if people would like to support helping us to continue that, our ability to do that, they can also donate on our website to help us continue to expand and sustain our programs. And I'm also available at dan@hearyoursong.org. And sort of most importantly, if people want to listen to the songs, cheer kids on, let them know that they're listening, they do so on our YouTube channel and our social media, which is @hearyoursonghys, pretty much anywhere social media is sold. And yeah, we just love hearing from people who are inspired and excited by the songs that kids are creating.
What do you hear, Jake, and then I want to hear how people can connect with you, but this brought up a question that I will forget because I'm on medication. What do you hear from the kids when their songs become kind of public and they can go on YouTube and listen to the song that they wrote? That has to be pretty cool for them.
Yeah, Jake, yeah. Do you have any examples?
Oh, I'm trying. I mean, you can see on our Instagram, we have a lot of reaction videos from kids for hearing their songs for the first time. I think, and we also have had a wonderful virtual songwriter showcase series called Cheer Your Song, where we sort of bring kids together so they can share their experience with their families. And yeah, I mean, we get a lot of heartwarming responses. A lot of the times from, obviously the kids love hearing their songs, but parents, I found it's a big moment for them when they get to kind of hear their child's story or ideas being brought to life in that way. And I think it's a big moment of letting them know that that their children's illness doesn't define them, and that there's so much more to be told, and there's just life and joy. And so that's been some of the most heartwarming responses when parents are like, oh my God, this song, we're listening to it nonstop.
Another example that comes to mind is we recently in May had our first sort of big in-person concert in New York, where we had a number of Broadway performers sing kids songs alongside the kids. Many of them got to Zoom with the kids who weren't going to be able to be there in person and were watching on live stream ahead of time. And one incredible Broadway performer, Aaron Davey, who it was in a number of Broadway shows, most recently Diana the Musical, and was in Grey Gardens, other things. She talked to Faith, who had written the song about her chronic illness experience called Reason, that she had chosen to sing. And they just had this incredibly moving conversation that Jake and I got to be hidden on the Zoom for, where Aaron Davey shared about her own experience with chronic illness that she hadn't sort of spoken about very publicly before, and allowed us to sort of share that with our community sort of on our social media as well. And it's just for kids to feel like, wow, a Broadway performer singing my song was cool, but to actually be like, my song has actually had a really significant impact and an emotional resonance with someone who's a performer who's saying, not just like, it's fun to sing your song, or like, this is cute, but like, this actually was kind of transformative for me, was kind of, I think, amazing for us, amazing for her, sort of just really powerful all around. That there's sort of, one of the things I say sometimes and that I love about the organization is that the impact often goes in directions that I can't even predict. And it's not just like, oh yes, we achieved our impact goal, but sort of the most important impacts are often ones that we never sort of thought about or imagined and just sort of happen organically.
Yeah, those moments of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. Like, yeah. Those pinch me moments.
Sure. And those happen relatively frequently, which is pretty cool job to have.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I share one more anecdote related to what you just said? One of my favorite unexpected impacts we had was two of our songwriters met in like a virtual group session. Like they sort of connected over the Zoom chat. They like bonded over like their love of High School Musical. And we didn't know that they had like exchanged info. And then like months later, their families reached out to me and said, oh, Charlotte and Elliot want to write a song together. And we're like, oh, how did Charlotte and Elliot know each other? And we had a Zoom with them, and they told us that they became best friends because of the Hear Your Song session. And they wrote a song with us about their whole friendship and how they live. One of them lives in the Midwest, one of them lives on the West Coast. So they've never met in person, but they like talk every day. And this the whole conversation is on our YouTube channel, where they like share about how like Hear Your Song brought them together. And that to me was one of the coolest things, that they just forged this friendship because of writing a song together. That was really heartwarming.
That gives me goosebumps. Like how, like, you know, all those things that like you don't even know are going to happen, and then they happen, and nothing you even planned for.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. Catherine, do you have anything? And we've taken more than enough of their time. I promised people a half an hour, and then usually it's an hour later.
Because we're having
probably, so much. Just need to change that wording when I talk to people.
We're having so much fun. But I guess one thing I've just, in going through this process, is like, I felt a lot of joy doing this with you guys today. And I even found, because I was listening to some of the songs on your website before we met today, and I found myself just like smiling and laughing. And I think even, you know, it's like this very the continuum of emotion of like whether someone's expressing something that's very painful for them or something silly, just the fact that you are doing this work of providing the space for people, for their voice to be heard, and maybe a voice they didn't even know they had in the first place. It's just really incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, we actually, I just had a conversation with a mom who said like, oh, I just wanted to tell you every time my son gets off, I hear your songwriting session. He's always like, those Hear Your Song people are so happy all the time. It's not something that we necessarily are. I mean, I think we find so much joy in working with the kids that we do, and hope that they do too. So I'm glad that you had that experience.
Yeah, thank you.
I know, I'm sad we didn't say that this was going to be 4 hours long, because I want to finish the song. Like, I want to know how it ends. I want to hear the entire thing. I'm sad.
We can always, we can schedule a follow-up.
We can make a little demo of the one chorus and send it to you.
Good. Thank Dan, thank you both so much for being here today. It was really fun.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
This was so fun.
And I say this a lot, but I want to be you when I grow up, because, I mean, what amazing work you're doing.
Yes.
If you're watching, make sure you're subscribing or liking or sharing or doing all the things. I don't know where you're watching or listening to this, but make sure you're subscribing and checking in every week. We have new episodes. Keep creating, everyone, and we will see you later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Arts for the Health of It, a podcast produced by Hearts Need Art, creative support for patients and caregivers, in partnership with the National Organization for Arts and Health. You can help others learn about the healing power of the arts by subscribing, sharing, and reviewing the podcast wherever you listen or watch. The podcast is hosted by Richard Wilmore, co-hosted by Constanza Rader. Our theme song, Songbird, is written and performed by Natalie Lane. Visit heartsneedart.org to learn how you can support our mission to create joy with people facing life-altering health challenges. Join us next week to learn more ways you can create arts for the health of it. The views expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Hearts Need Art, their staff, board members, or other affiliates. All content is created for informational purposes only. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice or to diagnose and treat any health condition. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.